We are live, the Tornado Tag Podcast, episode 152. Mm-hmm. And we have a special one for you all tonight.
Yes, we do.
Very excited about this one. We got to meet this amazing fellow at PPW. Oh. Yeah. He shocked everybody while showing up. It was like head turning and oh my God, you see he's here. Brian, introduce our guest tonight.
Our guest needs no introduction, but I'm going to do it anyway. It is the longtime owner of Ring of Honor, longtime Goodwill ambassador of Ring of Honor, and just somebody who, more importantly, because we're all fans here, has an absolutely infectious love for professional wrestling. Kari Silken joining us on the show tonight.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for having me on.
Well, thank you. No problem. Thank you for messing just asking to being on. I got the message and I put it in our group chat. I'm like, I can't believe this is happening. Like, we're honored. No pun intended.
Oh, pun very much intended. let's not kid ourselves.
Well, it's all good, and I'm happy to be on.
Cool.
So, like we said, it all starts with being a fan. Whether you're a wrestler like Andy, a promoter like Kari was for a long time, it all starts, for most people, with fandom. And usually there's that one person that kind of unlocks that fandom. Was there that one person for you? Yes. When you were first... Oh, go right ahead.
Yes, and he comes up a lot in my stories and through my life, which can be, which can be heard on the highly acclaimed Last Stop Penn Station podcast, where myself and Ian Riccoboni, we cover Ring of Honor. We cover these stories. It was very emotional and very, I don't know if it was cleansing or whatever, but just to let all this stuff out, you know, my personal life, my many years of serious drug addiction and, you know, just the lifestyle I led, and it's all there. I was mm-hmm. balls naked, and some of them make for some funny stories, but a lot of them, it's, you know, it's sort of ugly, you know. So when we were doing some of these, a lot of them, it was, you know, like a sort of a cleansing, but a dirty cleansing, you know, like just worn out. But anyway, all those stories are on Last Stop Penn Station. And to get back to your question, my cousin, Mike G, who is 5 years older than me, he was a huge influence for me. Starting with music, you know, I used to listen. I'm so fucking old that this is before there was FM radio.
So yeah, the Petrola.
I remember the Beatles being on Ed Sullivan.
That's a deep cut.
They had long hair, right? Now you look at those pictures now, and they didn't have long hair, but anyway.
Now, were you rocking long hair back then, Kari?
Absolutely.
All right. Yeah.
Maybe not then because I was too young, but by the time I was, you know, 16. But anyway, and then Mike turned me on to FM radio. I'm like, what's that? Well, there's like these higher numbered stations, but they play really good stuff. So I was listening to FM rock and roll freeform radio, 68, 69, 70. I was 12 years old. So we're talking Hendrix. We're talking The Who. We're talking Zeppelin coming out. We're talking so much good music coming out at this era.
And, I'm on the radio too.
I was into it, and my father's friend had a record store, so Frankie would bring me like, oh, hey, Uncle Frank. Yeah, we called him Uncle, right? Uncle Frankie, can I get the new Janis Joplin album? Or he was like, yeah, you know. But yeah, so Mike turned me on to wrestling. I've tried to pinpoint it. It was approximately January of 1966. because the big feud, and I lived in North Jersey, so wrestling was on Channel 5, which you guys still see on cable, right? From New York, Fox 5.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Really nothing to do with stupid ass Fox. But, political. So yeah, wrestling was on Saturday nights at 9 p.m. from the wrestling capital of the world, Washington, D.C. And Vince McMahon Sr. presented 2 hours of heavyweight wrestling. And that's what got me going. And when I first started watching it, I was immediately sucked in. Immediately. And I started scouring the town and the candy stores, the newsstands for wrestling magazines. And whatever. It's been a love affair since then. You know, I had my ups and downs, but I pretty much always followed it. It was so uncool.
I can imagine.
So uncool. Even like back then, like my 10, 11, 12-year-old friends were like, "You watch that stupid shit?"
It's weird that my
father, I don't want to say he hated it, but he was like, he liked real sports. You know, he turned me on to the Yankees. He turned me on to the football Giants. And he was a big basketball fan. So, but anyway, that's where I started. And I always wanted to go to the Garden, because they kept advertising the Garden, right?
Mm-hmm.
And do you guys know what a blue law is?
Yes. The blue laws are when things are closed on Sundays.
Right. Well, in this case, the blue laws for the New York State Athletic Commission were, number one, no lady wrestlers. Number two, no mass wrestlers. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Number three, no gimmick matches like cage matches or chain matches. But the worst one was you had to be 14 years old to attend boxing or wrestling at the Garden.
Wow. I never knew that.
They didn't enforce that. And my Uncle Henry, another classic character, and that's what my podcast is about, characters. There's no more fucking characters. You know, everyone wants to stare at their phones and they don't want to like have a personality. You guys are pretty cool, but it's like Henry was a character, and he knew the guy that promoted the wrestling and the boxing. There was an arena called Sunnyside Gardens in Queens. And he called Manny Hecklin. That was the guy. And Manny's like, Henry, we don't enforce that shit. You know, that's just the Garden. You know? And he got us some really good tickets, like in the second row. It was January of 1967. And, you know, like, talk about a classic opening bout. Arnold Skolin against Johnny Roz.
There you go.
Wonderful.
We're very fortunate to work with a lot of Johnny Roz's students, like for his school, and they come all over the place.
The main events on that card were like Baron Cicluna, Spiros Arion, Crazy Luke Graham, but I loved it. I was 11 years old and I loved it. And by the way, for my 14th birthday, my dad was a really good dude and he took me to the Garden and to see my favorite heel, Freddie Blassie. Going against Pedro Morales.
Wow.
And at the time, it was like 90% Latino crowd.
Well, they loved Pedro.
Particularly Puerto Rican people.
Mm-hmm.
And we're at the match, and when Blassie came, you know, there was no music. The only lighting was just the ring lights, you know, and like that moment at 8:30 when they shut the lights out, the ring lights came on. It was like a giant pop. But anyway, when Blassie came out, and the main event would never be last, they put it in the middle. And when Blassie came out, I'm standing up, you know, cheering him. My father literally grabs me by my pants. He goes, "Sit down. You're going to get us killed." Right. But yeah, so that was my introduction into, you know, into wrestling. And we started going to the Garden every show, me and my cousin Mike. This is through the Morales era into the second Bruno Sammartino run, which was, I know for you guys, this is like ancient. Like we're talking about the cavemen here. But this was great stuff. You know, Bruno had a 3-year run. They brought him back, you know, Killer Kowalski, Stan Hansen, so many great guys. And, you know, then eventually Billy Graham got the belt. Mm-hmm. That was great. Finally a heel champion.
A long-term one, too. That it wasn't just 3 weeks of losing
it. Enough. It was like, three quarters of a year.
Yeah.
You know, and he had some you go on YouTube or the Peacock thing, you'll see some real, I mean, he even had a really good match with Ivan Putski. Wow. Which isn't easy to do.
Yeah.
And those promos, too.
What I was going to say. He could talk back then. Not many people talked.
Yeah.
Right. And he had the Grand Wizard with him to boot.
Yeah, who could also talk.
It was just great stuff. So I could go on and on, but we went to a lot of Garden shows. I was there the night Snuka jumped off the cage. I went by myself.
Oh, wow.
Couldn't find anyone. I was there. I'm not comparing myself to these people, but Bully Ray was there. Mick Foley was there.
I said, didn't Foley hitchhikes? He said he hitchhiked to the Garden.
Right. And here's the thing. All of us were by ourselves.
Yeah, probably we knew each other.
What did all you guys ever accomplish in the business, right?
What did they ever beat?
That's like me and Andy swapping stories. Like, oh, yeah, I was at that show, too.
Well, yeah, you guys were both out.
When they brought back ECW, and it was WWE's version of ECW, and they ran the arena, we were both there.
Yeah.
No, at the ECW arena.
Oh, okay.
When they were bringing it back as a new brand.
It was like a house show.
Yeah, it was after the second One Night Stand. They did one house show at the arena.
Well, weren't you guys both at ROH show?
My first ROH show was Arena Warfare at the arena.
Yeah.
That's why I remember that. Danielson was the champion.
What year was that?
2006, I think. Okay. 2005, 2006.
All right.
Danielson was the champion then. And then that was just the start with this feud with ZZW.
Yeah, we did some really good stuff, if I must say.
The two sides of the arena were one side were really?
Not yet. Yeah, that was at the
Cage of Death.
Yeah, National Guard Armory. Yeah, but that arena was the first ROH show. I was like, wow, I was blown away. To me, it was ECW again without all the gimmicky stuff.
Yeah,
just wrestling.
So, getting into becoming a fan, and you've done almost every job you can imagine in pro wrestling at some point, right? With the promoting and. Putting up flyers and all that stuff. I mean, the unsung hero moments of professional wrestling, of getting people in the doors.
Yeah, I mean, you got to promote. When I had the ownership of Ring of Honor, I would go, like, we would go to the Garden and hand out flyers, you know, because we're coming to the Hammerstein. We'd go to NASA Coliseum in the pouring rain and try to put, you know, ads on the people's car, you know, because we were coming along. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Whatever we had to do, you know,
grassroots
promoting, whatever they call it. A lot of things that the guys at the show I met you guys at don't do.
Mm-hmm. You hardly ever see that flyers on the cars anymore.
Nice guys. They're very nice guys. But I was telling him, look, you could learn a lot from me, not because I know so much, because I could tell you what not to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. My early experiences with going to wrestling was at the Philadelphia Spectrum in the late 80s, 88, 89, even into the early 90s. And you would not leave that place. When you left that place, there was going to be a Tri-State Wrestling Association flyer on your car. A little bit later, there would be an ECW flyer on your car, guaranteed.
Yeah, that was the old school thing. If you were a local band and you had a show coming up, you've seen what the big band that was like your genre of music that was playing close by and would put flyers in the windows. Yeah.
2006. It was a Ring of Honor show at the Inman Sports Complex in Edison. It was the night that Joe and Danielson went an hour. And as you walked out the door that night, somebody was handing you a flyer and telling you the top two matches on the card. I heard it so many times, I remember the matches. It was Low Key against Azrael and Jay Lethal against Sanjay Dutt. And it was Joel Gertner handing out flyers for a show he was promoting in Connecticut.
Good for Joel. He's a good guy.
He is.
Yeah. Joel's awesome.
Yeah. So what was your introduction then stepping into that role of taking over ROH?
Well, we're not going to talk about.
Right.
Well, no, I'm saying like you're that moment of, you know, reins are now in your court and you're in charge of the company.
And you're inheriting a nightmare too. Yeah. We're not going to talk about it.
It was a nightmare. And, just the circumstances of what happened, it wasn't like, oh, wonderful, I bought the company. You know, it was like, I got this pile of shit. Seriously, you know, and like, it's like, so it was very rough. But thanks to CM Punk and Samoa Joe and that three-part feud they had, post me buying it. Thanks to Ricky Steamboat and Mick Foley, who were with us for like 6-7 shows to post that horseshit. We were able to, you know, climb out of that, and eventually it was forgotten about and we just had really good wrestling. And, but it wouldn't, you know, it was so good to, you know, as great as the Samoa Joe CM Punk thing was, people forget about Foley and Steamboat. They were with us for like, Foley was with us, I think, six, seven times, and Steamboat close to that. And it really validated us at that time, you know. Yeah, so it took a year to really, you know, the product was good. We got approached by Pro Wrestling Noah, which was like, what?
Yeah, in their heyday too. Yeah.
It was a crazy, crazy ride. And here we are in 2022. And last night I was at the AEW show. I drove down with Ian Riccaboni, and Ring of Honor's in good hands with Tony Khan. I don't know. Nobody knows what's going to happen. Nobody. No. You guys know as much as I do.
Yeah, and even with AEW itself, with the merger now with Discovery buying Warner Media, there's talk that that might affect their rights deal when their deal's up. So, yeah, it's an uncertain future. But the one thing about Tony Khan, same thing with you, Kerry, is you can tell that just from seeing him at a distance, that love is there.
Yeah.
And that could be a lot to help them through.
Yeah. Like I told some of my friends, like Bobby Cruz and Ian, it's like we got a heart transplant with Tony buying it.
That is an amazing analogy.
Yeah. That last pay-per-view, just watching it, I'm like, man, I cannot wait. Because if you just look at that roster that's there now, and then the people who are floating around, and especially just for me personally, the independent scene for the women's division. And I know Maria was there for a while with the ROH and like with the tournament, and just talking to her at a meet and greet at that same show we met you at, and she's rattling off all these names in the independent scene of these women. And I'm like, oh my God, you actually took time out of you. And she goes, yeah, that's what you have to do. Like, if you want to build the next star, you have to go look for them. And for her to say that, like, I fell in love with her. Like, I hope if they do what they're talking about, the rumors where they're in, Tony's talking to her about, hey, come in and let's do the ROH women's division, because there's so much out there that's so good. And then with the talent of people who are there before, and then you have the history, and now the media is all there. It's exciting.
Even if Tony Khan just wants to have some ROH title matches on AEW and not have a, you know, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. But if he decided, the hell with it, I'm not going to seek another hour of TV, you know, with ROH, and we'll just defend the titles here and there, fine, so be it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would love it to be, you know, a weekly thing. And,
oh, me too.
But if it doesn't happen, we've gone this far, so it's all good, man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For me, and we kind of talked about it before in the podcast, if ROH becomes a weekly television show, I can – no, and this is not a shot to AEW or anything like that, but I can definitely see ROH being, for me, almost like NXT startup was to WWE, where I was more focused on NXT mm-hmm. than I was the main product because of the roster that's there and what they're doing.
Yeah, and if they keep it the wrestling show, the wrestling show of ROH, because ROH has always been the, you know, the high work rate.
Yeah, like back in the day, WWE was your big action movie, big budget. ROH was your auteur cinema.
Yeah,
if you're gonna put it that way.
Now, the coolest thing, obviously, I mean, for us, when we think ROH and we think you're like you being a part of it, you turn on TV now, and almost every big name that you're seeing on both major brands that are television
went through
Ring of Honor. And that's just an accomplishment of your promoting skills and making these names household names to the point where they got to where they are now.
Well, last night I'm sitting in the back, and I'm with the Bucks, who are like my sons, and another son, Adam Cole. Another son,
real quick, Babe.
Yeah. Another son, Kyle O'Reilly. Oh. These are guys I spent serious time with. I brought Kyle O'Reilly and Adam to Yankee Stadium. I brought Kyle O'Reilly to see Book of Mormon on Broadway. I took Adam first time to Madison Square Garden. To WWE. He had never been there.
Wow.
I took Kyle and the Bucks to see my old favorite band, Jethro Tull. And I mean, beyond the wrestling, these were like serious friends. And like I said to Matt Buck last night, I said, look at you, you're all grown up. Right? And it was them in the same room. And it's like, you know, Bobby Fish, who I was not as close with, but he's a great guy. You can't be super close with everybody, right?
No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But with the Bucks, I was, and same with Adam and Kyle. And it's like all my children. You know, I put on WWE, and there's Tyler and Kevin. Tyler used to be my roommate.
Wow.
I mean, it's like, oh, you think, oh, there's something nefarious going on here. No, he was my roommate. He requested because he didn't drink or get stoned. And at the time I was completely abstinent. So he would be like, hey, Carrie, could I stay with you guys? I don't like staying with these other guys. You know, they're partying all night. I'm like, fine. So he was my roommate for like a year and a half on and off. And then the Bucks became my roommates. I mean, these two lovely Christian gentlemen with this old sleazeball. But it was cool. One time after a HD Net taping, myself, Jerry Lynn, I love him, as well as Tyler, in case your fans don't know who that is, it's Seth Rollins.
Tyler Black.
And the Bucks. We came to my house, which was like an hour and 10-minute ride. And there was a Friday taping and a Saturday. Anyway, we came to my house, and I had Rock Band. It was really popular at the time.
Yeah.
and Tyler could play it on Expert.
There you go.
On Expert. But we had so much fun. And anyway, but seeing all these people last night, running into like Mercedes Martinez.
Oh, God, I love her to death.
She's great.
And you know, Serena Deeb and BJ Whitmer and Lethal and Sanjay, he's my other son, Sanjay Dutt, and it just goes on and on and on. It's very cool, and they're very nice there. And then I see Frankie Kazarian, Daniels, Punk, Samoa Joe, Brian.
It's like all guys that work for you.
I wasn't like super close with Joe or Punk, but we've known each other 20 years, yeah. You know?
It's almost like a proud father moment for you.
Absolutely.
I mean, you did something right, because everyone who's in the top of the wrestling business all had that monocle of coming through ROH. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, the other one over on the WWE side, Sami Zayn was another guy who right. came, like, you know what I mean?
Kevin.
Yeah. And Kevin, I mean,
the ladder match there.
Don't forget Claudio.
I cannot wait for him to show up somewhere. Yeah, Claudio actually trained him at Chikara.
Let's not forget another one of my dear friends, Nigel.
Oh, Nigel is great.
So good. There's always that argument of like the best Ring of Honor champion. He can make the Joe is probably the consensus pick, and then you have Danielson. Nigel's reign as Ring of Honor champion is incredible. If you want to revisit that, the match with Aries in New York, just so many great moments when you're champion.
I'll never forget in the aforementioned Edison, the Inman Tennis Club, whatever the hell it was called, right?
Sports Center, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, the old hockey rink.
There was a match with Nigel and Tyler, Seth Colby, and it was supposed to be an hour draw. And it, like, Adam Pearce was booking. This was when Gabe was gone. Mm-hmm. And at like 50 minutes, and I'm at ringside with Bobby Cruz, at 50 minutes, Nigel's looking at us going, I can't do this. he had those bicep problems. Remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he was like, you know, whatever. A lot of memories, you know, there's a lot of heroes and a few zeros, but most of the guys were cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mostly everyone that came through ROH was a good wrestler as well. Yeah. Speaking of hero, Cristiano Claudio.
Yeah, Cristiano.
And just the people that came through like once or twice. Like one of the times I only went to Ibn like maybe three or four times. Misawa I saw in at the Manhattan Center.
Okay.
In Wrestle right. Kenta. But one of the times I went to Edison, it was Claudio against Kota Ibushi.
Ooh,
wow. They would have matches like that.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, just the people that passed through Kawat, like just the people that passed through that place.
Now, every company has, I guess you would say, like the standards of practice, right? Like, this is how we want you to conduct yourself. This is like, what was ROH, like, what was ROH as a management standpoint stance on how to be as a talent in your company? Because obviously when it comes to work ethic and what people were able to do there, I mean, they're the top of the wrestling business. So like, maybe not give away your secret formula, but what exactly do you tell these young talents that they've obviously kept so long to dominate the industry right now and start their own companies and do what they're doing?
I was never like, if it was Gabe, Adam Pearce, or Delirious, I'd let them book.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But as far as other stuff, for example, have you ever gone to a pro baseball game and watched the players come in like off the bus or come into the stadium?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How are they dressed? They're wearing a sport coat. Yes. Right, they're not coming in shorts and ripped up t-shirts.
Right, hockey players always come in. Guys,
I said to these guys, it's like 2006, dude. You got to come in looking professional, and it's true. I mean, if you come in, and that's like if you ever see WWE guys through an airport, they always got a sport coat on. It's like you've got to look different than the regular people. You know, especially coming into a building, even some shithole. But, you know, and like, it's hard to get the Briscoes to do that.
Yeah, they don't exactly
dress like. And some of the guys understood. And I would do things like that. I was really big on you know, when I brought in the lighting for the first time, which was 2003 at the Murphy Rec Center.
Oh, boy.
Gabe, who's a rock and roll guy, was like, Carrie, I don't want you to, you know, we don't need to be spending the money on this. It was like $2,000 to rent, you know, to get ring lights and a little entrance lights, but it would look good. And I'm like, Gabe, when you go to a concert or you go to even a movie, what happens when it starts? Oh, the lights go out. I go, what happens when the lights go out? The people pop.
Yeah.
And so, it's an eternal from that night at the garden. The right. Lights go down at 8:30. Mm-hmm.
Right. And so we did it. And the first time, all we had were four sets of ring lights, six.
Is it bad that I can imagine these lights in my head still to this day? I know the lights he's talking about.
And we would have one follow spotlight, you know, with a kid running it from the back at the entranceway. And as time went on, we built more lighting for the entrances. We had lasers. We had this. We had that. It looked pretty damn good for a little rinky-dink thing. Yeah. And as we went on through 2000, and don't forget the I was watching Raw one night, and I noticed the black, most of these companies have the bicycle pole, you know, the bicycle.
The guard railing.
Mm-hmm. Right, but I saw WWE had the black, whatever they were, barriers. So I said to Sid, let's get something like that. Let's put the Ring of Honor logo on it. And Sid, it was almost like a synergy. He came up with those metal.
Mm-hmm.
Remember those? Plastic. Right?
Yeah. Everyone would bang on them.
Right. When anyone sitting in the front row had the right to bang on them, right? And it made a lot of noise. It was genius.
It was.
Between that and the lighting, if I'm going to brag about anything, that had a lot to do with the success. But like lighting is never talked about. In other words, if we went and saw Metallica or we went and saw whoever, Elton John, or we saw Lady Gaga, and there's some point in the show where like the whole stage is lit in blue, in all kinds of angles, and then all of a sudden, on a big break of a big song, it pops to like gold and red, and then all of a sudden, everything goes white. Well, nobody there except the lighting guy, or except someone like me who might be looking and be like, wow, look how it went from the blue to the red and the orange. And then on that fucking big break, it just went all white with all kinds of beams. It's like a subconscious thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the people don't know why they're like, you know, they're popping at a concert. It's a combination of the music, you know. So doing that with wrestling, it was the same theory. And, you know, we were rudimentary, but semi-pro, you know, and it was good. And I used to have so much fucking pipe and drape. I told those guys in Pennsylvania, at your place, that you got to put up drape.
Yes.
You know, the guy that was the kid that was doing the mixing, whatever his name was, he was very nice. The kid doing the camera mixing.
Oh yeah, Sean. Yeah, Sean.
Right. The fucking hard camera is shooting at this horrible wall. You know, and if that was just blacked out with just 40 feet of curtain, right? Just paste it up there. And if they put some lights, installed them, I said to the guy running it, I mean, in other words, if he was going to be there, let's just say every month for a year, and he knew he was going to be there, you could just install buy them once.
Yeah.
And buy a little system with dimmers. You get the picture.
It's funny that you say that, because literally when we do this podcast, we installed curtains. Exactly what you're saying. And now you see the color lights coming up from the bottom.
Yep.
We just bought like little outdoor Halloween lights. Like the small, they said the small things count.
It's not funny,
a small thing. They all add up, man.
Yeah.
That's true.
And how you're saying too, how you get the crowd. If you get the crowd invested with your lights and your sound and the guardrails that you can slap, the louder.
Here's the thing. They don't even know that they're invested in it.
It's all subconscious. Yeah.
Yeah. And the more your crowd gets into a show, your talent's going to work harder.
Oh, yeah.
Like your opening match could be a main event style caliber because they're going to feed off that energy of the crowd.
Yeah. And then
how this day and age, and even with Ring of Honor, they have the moving lights.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you go to a show, it's like in the olden days, you had a light and a gel. So if you wanted red around the stage, you had like, I don't know, let's just say to keep it simple, 8 lamps in the back, 8 in the front and 4 on the sides, red. That's it. Then you had blue, you know, so now one lamp potentially could be every color.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The LEDs.
And plus they can move. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think the first time I super noticed it, well, there's twice, was at Jethro Tull at the Garden. And you're not going to know the song. You're not going to know, but there's a famous Tull album called Thick as a Brick. And it was like one straight, you put the first... This came, you've heard of Aqualung, right?
Yeah,
absolutely.
No.
So this album came out after Aqualung. And here's the thing. The record company, and Aqualung was like their first, like number one album. Anyway, they come out with this new album and they bring it to the record company. And the record company says, well, the music sounds good, but how the fuck are we going to market this? you put on the first side, it played to the end. You flip the record over, it played to the end, right? But they were able to break it up for radio, right? Back then, some radio would play the whole damn thing. But what I'm going with this is, I'll get to the lighting part. The album went...
you go ahead. I love it.
It shows you how much different the world is. That album was the number one record, maybe for 2 weeks. Was the number one record in the world. And like, it's such good music. But anyway.
And Locomotive Breath is that band's best song.
Well, absolutely. And it's your most famous. Except for Aqualung. But there's a part in Thick as a Brick that, because they wouldn't play the whole thing live. But there's just this one part with this one break. And it was just like, I'm not going to try to recreate it, but it was like da 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 da. It was like we called it the magic chord.
Yeah.
The magic chord hit. There were 18 white lamps from the back just coming, you know, over the top of the band. And it's the first time you saw that and everything froze. On that, and when those lights hit, we used to call them the lights from God. And just once again, you had to have like 18 dedicated white lights, no gel. And the only other time they used them was in Locomotive Breath at the very end with the dan, 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 you know. But anyway, the point is that it's all subliminal, and I'm sorry to bore you with that.
I love that.
Not at all.
What you're describing is also one of the biggest moments in wrestling history so far, or wrestling this year. When CM Punk came out, it was completely dark with that white one light, and then his old music hit. I mean, there's still a lot of wrestling left to go the year, but I think that might go down as a top moment so far.
That was a lot. And if you knew, you knew. And it was just for those people that knew.
Yeah. Real quick in the chat, we do have a live chat. If people have any questions or anything they want to add, please do. But Ryan Vox, he's also the GM and commissioner of another local promotion in the area called Outbreak Wrestling. Says the subconscious is so more powerful.
And,
so.
And, And when you brought up, when Karen, you brought up installing the lights, if you know that you're going to be there for a while, a little while back, the first thing I thought of, Outbreak Wrestling tends to run the Hamburg Fieldhouse.
The legendary Hamburg Fieldhouse. Yeah. Yes. Well, they're actually going to be running this Saturday in the Fieldhouse. Andy's wrestling. Mm-hmm. So if you want to come to Hamburg, come hang out with us.
And cool. Am I allowed to come?
Yes. I even think you might get come.
Okay. You know what? For $15,
your ticket's at the door. It's on me.
The guy who runs it, Ryan Box, is in our chat now, Carrie.
The one of the guys who runs the company is watching this.
Can I come, please?
And it is a benefit. There is going to be an auction of things for the Greater Berks County Autism Society.
Yeah, so they're doing a bunch of different raffles for autism awareness. So
I believe
who's in the feature bout?
Johnny Moran versus the champion Ian Bush.
Yeah, it's all a local guy.
Ian Bush was actually at AEW last night. He was one of the security guards for Wardlow.
There was a guy at AEW last night. I can't think of his name, but he was at your show.
Bro Keller. He was also a security guard.
Yeah.
That same.
Right. Yeah, he's long hair.
He's a champion.
He's fantastic. I love Bro.
And I was also happy that Cheeseburger and Retritus. And Eli Isom got to be on that show.
I forgot about Eli. He was good.
Yeah. Eli Isom, listen to me. There's very few guys that.
There you go. Please come out as my guest. Well, he's gonna be our guest, Ryan.
Back to old school Ring of Honor, I believe in the seminar beforehand, and probably maybe sticking around for the show, Kevin Kelly is gonna be there.
Really?
Allison Danger will be there in the seminar, I believe.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, you gotta come out and hang out.
I will. What I want to say.
You say Eli Isom.
Oh, yeah, Eli. I've been watching wrestling for 55 years. And sometimes you could just see people that have it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But going to the Ring of Honor phase, once again, I let Gabe book, I let Pierce book, I let Delirious book. But I would often say, like, hey, blah, 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 this guy looks good, da 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 da. And I remember seeing these guys come in from day one. I remember seeing Punk and Cabana coming in from day one. Yes, they wrestled in the Midwest, but it was their East Coast, you know, and you just knew there was something going on. Spanky, right? You just knew something was going on. Low key, pain in the ass.
not low key.
And going on to a little further down, obviously Samoa Joe. It was just obvious. But like going on further, and I'm going to leave names out here, but I remember Tyler Black, Seth Rollins coming in, and it was 2004. And he was supposed to go to the training school that Punk was running at the time. And he was a little kid, skinny kid. And he had a pink baseball cap on and he had no money. And he was with his friend and they were going to sleep in their car. And we're doing a show at that, the legendary, in Elizabeth, the
Rexplex.
Thank you.
This is why he's on our team.
I got a historian here. So yeah, and like I remember slapping Tyler Colby on the hood of his baseball. I'm like, come on, dude, like wake up. But anyway, I saw these guys, and did I think that Colby was going to be Tyler Black and Seth Rollins? Not right away, but soon. But, you know, then we go on to other eras and seeing, like, you know, Eddie Edwards and Davey Richards come in, and you just knew they had it.
Dude, mm-hmm. Davey Richards is so good. Mm-hmm. He's so good.
Roderick Strong. Mm-hmm. And then moving on a little further, there was my boy Adam Cole. And I'll never forget. Do you know where he trained at?
No.
I know he's originally built. He's not built from there, but he's originally from Lancaster, right?
Yes.
Correct. But
I wish he wrote Rock that. It does bother me. He's not. Yeah.
He trained at CZW.
Okay, that's
I
probably
I didn't know.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I'm like, what? What are you doing there? he used to come to the Ring of Honor shows. And in Philly, and we were doing the HDNet tapings, which was every 2 weeks. He was helping out. And I used to call him Smiley, right? And he didn't wrestle yet. And he was a real nice kid. And then one day I get there and I go in the locker room and there's Smiley and he's getting changed. And I'm like, hey man, what's up, Smiley? He goes, Carrie, I think I'm going to wrestle tonight. I'm like, cool. Anyway, he's there in his tighty whities. And I just glanced over at him like anybody would. And I go, this guy's going to be a star.
And boy, has he been.
Yeah. Now, I've been right about that one.
Now, you said, obviously, going back to your podcast, everyone has a character, everyone has a story. You want to talk about character work. Because, I mean, if you kind of break that fourth wall and watch Adam Cole doing his video game stream, he is the nicest, most soft-spoken human being of all time. And then you see...
last night.
Yeah, and then you see him on TV, and he is a scumbag. Like, you don't want to be a fan of his.
Scumbag.
No, his character, Adam Cole, is like, he's a good heel.
Adam Cole is a scumbag. Smiley is a nice guy.
Smiley is a, like, him and Kevin Owens are probably my two favorite wrestlers on the planet. Followed closely by the guy I got to see at PPW. And I marked, I don't know if we put photos up of me at ringside, which on commentary when Jay Lethal was there, and I'm smiling like I won the golden ticket for Willy Wonka.
Now, there is a guy, if you followed ROH through the life of its initial incarnation, through the beginning times, through Carrie's period, through the Sinclair era up until now, you could see a full career progression mm-hmm. of Jay Lethal from a guy who is in a tie named after street drugs,
yeah. from all Special the way K to world
all the
champion.
Way to a consummate wrestler, and it's an amazing progression.
We were doing a show one time in Philly. It was not at the arena. It was not at the National Guard Armory. It was in a ballroom in a hotel. Something happened where the 2300 was closed, and we needed like a quick and. It had a really low ceiling. It wasn't good. But anyway, at that particular show, like 2004-ish, we had Too Cold Scorpio against Lethal.
Oh, wow.
That's a match.
I don't know who won or lost, but that's not the point.
The fans won.
the end of the match, Too Cold plays the music Jungle Boogie.
That was the ZCW music, yeah.
And Lethal... he wanted Lethal to dance. Like, you know, Scorpio's busting some moves, right? And Lethal is like, he was like terrified. Terrified. And he tried to run away. But, you know, yeah, he's another one of my sons. I mean, I've known him since day one. And, you know, I've known the guy like, you know, 20 fucking years. I can't believe it.
You want to talk about a work ethic. This guy comes to a show, does a seminar, chain wrestles every single person at the seminar mm-hmm. for 8+ minutes. If some people got longer, and just to say, like, I chain wrestle Jay Lethal for a while.
And he had to cut that seminar short, mind you.
Yes. Then went and did a full meet and greet, then went in the back and wrestled and put on one of the, like, a top match of the mm-hmm. card.
And then was teaching people how to do promos, teaching me how to hold the camera. He's helping the whole time.
He was helping. Yeah, there was some guys, in all due respect, that are never going to make it, but he gave them the time.
It was awesome. Beautiful to watch.
And it was wonderful. He's a wonderful guy.
Yeah, I was already a fan. That put me on a different stratosphere. Just because we said before, he could have easily walked into that promotion mm-hmm. and just coasted.
He could have been dismissive to the fans. He could have done a 5-minute match where he didn't take a single bump. He could have sat in a corner. He could have sat in a corner and not talked to anybody.
And
afterwards.
He earned that to do that.
Yeah, and as long as he did the Macho Man thing, people would have eaten it up.
Like me,
but he went out there and he performed.
Yeah, he's amazing. If you can get Jay Lethal on your show, do it.
Yeah,
you won't be disappointed, and he's going to do nothing but help your locker room, even if he's there for 15 minutes.
Yeah, he's wonderful.
Yeah. So ROH is doing before like the thing, the selling and the changeover, their Hall of Fame, where they're putting people in the Hall of Fame. And I know it's like picking your kids, but if you had to do your first round ballots of Hall of Famers for ROH, who would be on that list?
Well, the first ballot, the first pick is the Briscoes.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, they are.
That's it. I mean, they've been with the company forever, the whole time, from day one. The only reason Mark couldn't wrestle on the first show because he wasn't old enough at the time.
Did the Midnight Outlaw wrestle on that show?
Who?
That was CZW. They would wrestle under masks as the Midnight Outlaws because they were too young to wrestle in Pennsylvania. And they would just do it under a mask.
Well, yeah. And, you know, they've been with us ever since. And hopefully they'll be with the... we'll see what happens.
Yeah, everybody wants them. Yeah, the match with FTR at the pay-per-view was awesome.
That was the greatest thing ever.
I know, that's one of the best matches all year, best tag match all year by far. Yeah. But,
it might be one of the best tag matches of all time, or it's definitely up there in the top whatever.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I totally agree. Any other ROH questions or carry questions?
You answered one without me even asking about, like, who was the guy you think was like, yeah, it's going to be touch and go. Is there anybody you thought, this could have gone, like, you thought this was a can't miss, and then, well, that's not a good question.
Yeah,
because you're kind of throwing somebody under the bus there. the Briscoes were on Impact tonight, according to Ryan Vox in the chat.
Oh, wow.
There you go. Oh, Briscoes on Impact.
I have an off-beaten one, I guess. More your music and your ticket sales and stuff you used, did you? It sounds like you were very big into the music industry and everything. I'm just wondering, do you have any more crazy stories? I've heard about the John Belushi story, and I've heard you getting kicked out of an Eric Clapton concert the Garden over a joint.
I got a million of them. when you guys were just, what do they say?
Knee high to a grasshopper.
A twinkle in your dad's eye. Yeah.
A gleam in your parents' eyes.
Yeah.
I was, running hog wild, hog wild in New York City. There's so many. I mean, I partied, with guys from, it's the only one reason they wanted to hang out with me, and you know what that is.
Mm-hmm. That's all right.
Because I was a good-looking girl. So
it was all that wrestling knowledge you had.
It was having the right stuff. But anyway, guys from the Rush crew and not Bob Seger himself, but there's just so many. I went to so many shows, and I was hustling tickets on the streets of New York City. We're talking during when crack was like the epidemic of crack and AIDS, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a really good show called The Deuce. Ever hear of it?
I believe so. I've heard of it. Yeah.
I promise you, if you watch it, it's on either HBO or Showtime. And The Deuce is three seasons. The Deuce is the nickname for 42nd Street. And the first season starts in 71, 72. And cops, robbers, pimps, hookers, good guys, bad guys, whatever. And the next season jumps to 77 when you got the punk and the disco colliding. But the whores and the pimps and so on and so forth were still there. And then it jumps to 84, 85 with the aforementioned AIDS epidemic and the crack epidemic. And it was wild. The city was like the Wild West. And you know what? I loved every filthy minute of it. I just did. But if you watch The Deuce, James Franco's in it. It jumps from these three eras. And it's so, like, you want to see what 42nd Street and the peep shows and the bars and the after hours places and the gay bars were like, legit, put that show on. And it's really, really interesting.
I'll have to check it out.
Your question, dear, I don't even know. I mean...
You got to listen to the podcast more.
Last
Stop Penn Station. There's plenty of episodes. You can hear a lot of stories.
All the links for the podcast website, as well as to follow Kerry here on Instagram and Twitter, are there, so you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Andy, you have anything?
I just wanted to hear Kerry tell stories.
Yeah,
about wrestlers and about the garden.
Yeah, I don't want to talk right now. I hear Kerry talk.
And my first garden show was actually the ROH New Japan Supercard of Honor show.
Well, that's really cool that you were there.
Yeah, the first time I was at the garden.
I've never been to the garden
in my life.
Yeah, but yeah. Okada won the title back.
Dude, here's the thing. The odds of me, you know, I told you the story about my dad taking me to see Freddie Blassie. And my dad, before I was all messed up, he took me to hockey games. I loved that. And, you know, Yankee Stadium, but at the garden. And then we started going to the concerts. 1973, I saw Zeppelin.
Nice.
I saw Tull. I saw Elton John the night John Lennon came out. It was John Lennon's last public performance.
Jesus.
We saw the first Paul McCartney Wings Over America tour. We saw George Harrison. I was at the 75 Stones tour.
Oh, wow.
Black Sabbath. We didn't care if it was the Allman Brothers or if it was Billy Joel or if it was Iron Maiden or if it was Pink Floyd. We went to everything, you know, like, and the funny thing was this. You would think, oh, Elton John. Oh, those fans are like Rudy Poo, right? As opposed to, let's say, a Black Sabbath crowd. They were the same fucking people.
Yeah.
It was a scene in front of the garden. This is before I was scalping tickets. This is a fan. It was a scene. All the bars were packed. And if it was Sabbath playing or if it was The Who playing. Oh, yeah, I saw Quadrophenia in 74 when they came. That was ridiculous. But whoever was playing Dead, the bars would be blasting their music. The places were packed. The streets would start filling up at like noon with people just hanging out. And even if it was like a Billy Joel, it would just it was no different than a Zeppelin.
Yeah.
The people just hanging out and, you know.
You don't get that vibe anymore from concerts or mutant.
No,
it's just.
I went and saw Elton John at the Garden recently, and it was fantastic. But if you didn't know Elton John was playing that night, there was no indication, no energy, no hanging out. It's over. Mm-hmm. It's fucking over. And it was such a golden period of time. You just can't explain it. You had to have been there. I mean, any kind of verbiage or, you know, I try to give you on this. It's not worthy of what was taking place. I remember the Grateful Dead and I wasn't a huge Deadhead. I was moderate. I liked rock and roll. I liked Zeppelin. I liked Floyd, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, the Dead would play like anywhere from 8 to 12 nights at the Garden, right? This is like when they made a comeback in like 85 with the Touch of Grey.
The Grey, yep.
Right? And what a scene. Like they didn't do 8 in a row. So these people were like living in the parking lot.
I can imagine some Deadheads living in the streets there for a while.
You couldn't imagine. I remember one time the Dead ended their stand. And let's just say their ninth show was on a Saturday. Well, on Tuesday, the parking lots were still full. And you know why? Because that's when the crack was happening.
Yeah.
And the Deadheads came and they spent all their fucking money. And they couldn't get out of town.
I knew a guy who went to a Dead concert, a festival. And he said, my plan was, because I got so high, I forgot where I put my car,
oh my God,
that I would just wait until everyone left. I was there 3 days.
Wow.
Because he did, because everyone had the same thing. They just got so high they couldn't find where their cars were.
By the way, well, we're talking about old New York.
Guys, you throw the crack into the mix. Not only could they find their car, they didn't have any money to do anything with it when they got it.
Yeah, yeah. If they came on an empty tank of gas, they were in trouble.
It was bad. It was bad.
What do you got, Brian?
Well, we're talking about old New York. The Deuce was on HBO. And if you're a fan of The Wire, it was done by the same people who did The Wire, David Simon, George Pelicano.
The Wire, then trust me, The Deuce is so quality.
I'm going to have to look that up.
I love how the wrestling podcast turned into a music podcast. This is great. I love it. So I went to a concert in my younger years and the crowds were insane crazy. Today is just sitting chairs and I was like, what the fuck is this?
You can't even stand in them no more.
And these are people my age predominantly. They fucking watch the they don't watch the concert.
They on their phone.
Through a phone.
I hate that. Yeah.
That is not watching anything.
No, you paid money for it. Then you're going to watch this. I was at a Royal Rumble and there's people watching the network. I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Look at the fucking wrestling that's on.
I went to see Green Day recently and he says, if I see one phone up, he'll bring like a super soaker out. He'll shoot you with it.
Why come?
I went with Dave LaGreca recently.
I'm a huge fan of Dave.
To see Alice Cooper, who I love. And same thing. I mean, these are people in their 50s and 60s, and are you going to get a better video of Alice Cooper doing I'm 18 or School's Out than is on, has been produced professionally?
No.
And every single time you put that on your social media, I'm telling you right now, I scroll right past
and it. And it sounds like shit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're not doing the band any justice.
No.
When was the first time when the wrestling world collided with the music world and you met somebody because you were like, because the wrestling got you to a different place where you can meet friends or make friends from different circles?
Never. Because I was too messed up. I was too messed up during that 70s, 80s into the early 90s period. And my involvement with wrestling, going to the shows, the two never tied together at the time.
Yeah, no crossover.
Yeah.
There was plenty of partying going on in the wrestling world. Matter of fact, one time, also available on Last Stop Penn Station, you'll hear the tale of myself and Tony Atlas.
Tony Atlas is a character. If you ever
want to hear the story,
no, make them listen to the podcast for it. Definitely look for that one.
I think this might be a good question toward the end here. Besides, don't. If there was any advice you could impart to somebody who wants to promote wrestling, what would it be?
Donate the money to the people in Ukraine.
There you go.
There we go. That's a great answer.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to make any money.
Yeah.
And if you do, it's painful.
Yeah.
But yeah, the world's fucked up. We're sitting around like fat pigs. We got food, right? Mm-hmm. We got warm houses. We got TV, and these people are running, not just in Ukraine, many places. They're running for their lives, starving, old people, babies, nothing, their arms blown off, their brains blown out, whatever. It's fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's definitely, we definitely don't realize how good we have it.
Yeah,
enjoying things.
In closing here, there was a very good podcast with Chris Jericho, had on Dee Snider from Twisted Sister.
Love Dee.
Dee Snider was all about trying to make a united musical effort to fund Ukraine through shows and various other charities. And Chris was nice enough to have me on his podcast after Final Battle.
It was a good episode. I listened to it.
Yeah.
And after the Dee Snider thing was over, I text Chris. I said, he never explained how to donate money or like what reliable, charities are there. People, I talk to these people, Yeah, I would donate, but you know, I don't want to, whatever. So he goes, you know what? You're right. But he got back to me like a half hour later and whatever. If you do a nice thing, you're not supposed to talk about it because that is like you're doing something nice out of your heart.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. So he gave me this charity. I did something and I need to do more. That's all.
Yeah. Well, listen, we thank you. We can't thank you enough for coming on and doing this. I really hope
boring.
No, anything but. I know you're semi close to the area. We really hope to see you again at shows like maybe this. I will send you the information to that show for Saturday.
You have my phone number, right?
I don't have your number. I just have your social media, but you can message me on Instagram and I'll send you the information. And like I said, how you were talking about before, the next PP, the show you were at last time where we met PPW, Cole Cabana will be at the next one. So you were talking about.
Yes. Yeah.
So anytime, listen,
boy.
Yes.
Yeah. So anytime, listen, if you want to come hang out at independent shows with us, we're more than welcome to have you. You're great people to be around. And just thank you again for reaching out and asking if you can do this because you blew our minds.
You guys are cool. You know your stuff, and I like that.
Carrie said happy birthday, so thank you for saying happy birthday to me the other day when it was my birthday.
Whose birthday?
It was mine last Sunday.
Oh, I'll give you a kiss for that.
Thank you.
What's wrong with that?
We'll take it. No, we're not nothing wrong with it at all.
Andy will be in action. Andy will be in action at Hamburg. Maybe he needs a manager.
There we go.
Yeah.
Cross management.
Carrie's retired. Carrie's retired.
I used to say from Matt to Matt from the Bucks. The hell did I say to him? I used to say, "You're my favorite guy."
Yeah.
And he'd be like, "Oh, stop." When I was with him last night. I said to him, you know what, bro? You're still my favorite guy.
Yeah.
And he didn't say stop. He's like, thank you.
Yeah. Well, listen, I know you're humble in accepting this, but listen, the landscape of professional wrestling is the way it is today because of your work and everyone's work at ROH. And
I chipped in.
A little bit. And it takes a team to do it. And the fact that we have the wrestling landscape we have now is because of that company.
Just everybody stop and think, what would wrestling be like right now if this guy here doesn't pull that company out of the abyss when they were at a very dark time when it could have gone very, very bad?
I think a lot of these guys, the Seth Rollins, the Joes, the obvious names, would have probably made it. But
talent does find a way. You're right.
Ring of Honor gave a nice platform.
Yes, absolutely.
WWE and Impact to try to pluck.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, listen, the entire NXT was essentially ROH. Yeah. AEW was
NXT was just we're gonna make our own ROH.
Yeah,
like Vince,
you set the blueprint, and wrestling is now following it, and now we have wrestling on every day of the week. Yeah. You know what I mean?
And hopefully whatever
ROH.
What's that?
Yeah, it's a good thing.
It's a very good thing. As pro wrestling fans, it's how you were saying before, how back in the day people were like, you watch that shit. I think wrestling fans are harder on wrestling than actual non-wrestling fans.
Probably.
And we live in the era where it's probably at its peak when it comes to talent that's on TV.
Mm-hmm.
We're just trying to find things to complain about. It's like, just enjoy it. Enjoy it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Hey, Andy.
Yes.
Birthday boy. What's your working name?
My working name is also Andy Header. I use the
what's the last name?
Header, like your head, Header.
That's a nice name.
Yeah, so that's why I didn't want to change it.
You could follow him on Instagram and it's at Get Some Header.
That's my Twitter.
Or his Twitter. Yeah.
Get Some Header.
Get it? But yeah. Anyway, I hope, Carrie, whatever ROH does happen to be, I hope that they have you involved somehow. That'd be great to see you there, even if it's still the ambassador role.
I would like to also, just out of courtesy.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've earned your spot, man.
But at the same time, I'm at a stage in my life where I want to travel on my own accord. Mm-hmm. You guys are all young. Seriously, you guys are all youngsters, and no one ever thinks they're going to get old. No one ever thinks they're going to have this or that. It's always the other guy, right? Oh, so-and-so had a stroke. So-and-so had a heart attack. So-and-so this, so-and-so that. So at this stage of my life, I just want to be able to do things on my own accord. And if Tony Khan wants me, I'll go when it's good. And yeah, I hope he does.
To have that nice open door policy for you would be nice.
Right. I mean, just let me sit around and that's it. I don't give a
get the guy a chair. Yeah, get him a chair. Kerry, we thank you again. Seriously. It blew us away when you sent the message, and anytime you want to come on, the door is always open. What we're doing in the future with guests is actually we like to pick a topic, whether it's an old show or an old wrestler or a person or place and time in wrestling, and we more or less do a topic.
Except I'm going to go all over the place.
I love it. I want that. I want you to come on and talk about if we do a Jay Lethal episode, and you could tell you could have more Jay Lethal information than any of us, you know. And so it'd be fun.
Or just old 1975 WWF.
Yeah. Love it.
Let's do it.
Or we could do the history of the garden.
Before we go, I know it's not polite to ask a lady her age, but how old is it?
Me? Yeah, I'm 30. I'm 35.
What about Andy?
I just turned 40, but I look much younger.
40?
I feel younger. Yes.
Yeah, you look good, my boy.
Thank you.
What about these other guys?
I'm also 35.
I am 38.
Brian's 38?
Yep.
All right. You're all looking good. So
thank you.
In Hamburg, send me the information. I'm doing anything Saturday. So that would be nice to do something.
Absolutely. You'll get to see the lights above the ring that, as far as we know, Vince Sr. put in there, and they're still there.
And the chairs you'll sit on are the chairs.
Chairs.
Some guy had some kind of autograph bullshit.
What's that?
In Hamburg.
Well. Now, last year,
fan fest. Like,
they had a little convention.
Yeah, they're going to be doing again this year. So, if you want to be part of the Legends of Hamburg Fieldhouse, you can come hang out.
No. Thank you so much. You guys are cool.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Let me just do it real quick. If you guys want to follow us on all things, iwepnetwork.com. You can follow all the podcasts we do. We want to thank real quick. We do every time the people who donate to us on Patreon. So once again, in the chat with us tonight, Ryan Vox from Outbreak Wrestling, David S, Brett Squared, Bridget M, Andrew H, Greg R, Heidi B, Ryan G, Kelly, Tommy B, Tree of Life Metaphysical Shop, Brad Z, Higher Than the Words Podcast, and JH. Thank you so much for your donations on Patreon and that monthly subscription to help us keep the lights on, to keep this podcast rolling.
And one last plug for Last Stop Penn Station with Kerry and Ian Riccoboni.
Yeah, Last Stop Penn Station. We haven't done a new episode in quite a while, but there is a friggin' bucket load of emotional, interesting stories and all kinds of wrestling history and Ring of Honor history and, you know, stuff that'll have it's blood curdling.
So if you enjoyed Kerry tonight,
I just told it like it is for better or for worse.
Yep.
Hopefully there'll be a book soon.
That'd be fantastic.
I would be first in line to buy that book.
You should do what Shivani did and do a graphic novel comic book book.
There you go.
Well, going back to see everything circles around. The Mike G guy that my cousin had turned me on to wrestling and rock and roll.
Yeah.
He's been a writer for 50 years. Wow. And we have the book done, but we just got to do one last edit.
Well, what? If it's done by the time of the Legends of Hamburg Fieldhouse 2, you can come sell your book.
Done by that. All right, look, boys, thank you. Hey, Anthony, send me that. I'll send you my phone number.
Okay, perfect. I will send you all the information and keep you up to date with some shows in this area. If you ever want to come by and hang out, we'd love to have you.
Well, Saturday.
Yeah, yes. I'll send you for this Saturday. Boys and like
and
I said,
girls, thank you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
See you later, Kerry.
Later.
Bye-bye.
Hope that was all right.
That was perfect.
Oh,
right, we'll end there. Tornado Tag Podcast, episode 156. We'll see you guys next time. We're out of here.